Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
Let me introduce myself real quick. My name is Josh McDonald. My wife and I have been coming here for about 4 years. Pastor Trev and his family are off on a much-needed vacation in Ireland, so I was fortunate enough to be asked to present to you guys this morning, speak to you guys. So if you don't already, please pray for your pastors on like a regular basis. It's something that they get a lot out of. They don't even need to know you're doing it, but it's just helpful for them. But especially when they're gone on vacation, they need all the rejuvenation and refreshment they can get. When then when they come back, they're very motivated and driven, and it's a good time to be away for them. So if you don't already, start praying for your pastors, especially Trev and his families are gone on vacation this week. It's a good opportunity for them to be away. So surprisingly, Trev asked me to speak on love the Lord your God with all your strength. So, of course, he picked the guy that works out to speak on strength. I'm not going to take it personally that he didn't want me to speak on love the Lord your God with all your mind. I'm choosing not to take that one personally when we were picking straws of who got what. But we've been working through this this series on loving the Lord your God. And harking back to a little bit of what Randy said about technology, if you guys are anything like us at our house, we have kind of embraced technology with our television. We've cut the cord for the cable, and we just have now this little Hulu box, and we watch Netflix and Amazon Prime, and it's a Roku box, and we watch Hulu on there. And I saw advertisements starting a couple of weeks ago for something that I'm super excited about, is the All Chick Flick channel. Really excited about that one. Yeah, that's really exciting. Now the good news is I know I have one channel to avoid instead of having to worry about these movies getting spread around all over the places. So I just have one channel I just have to never, ever go to. But if you can't tell, I'm not really a fan of chick flicks, of the romantic comedy whole genre thing. It's just not, I can't get into any of it. Part of it is because it's the same like two or three formulas every time. It's either country girl comes back from the big city and falls back in love with the guy she never should have left, or country girl goes to the big city and finds a jerk that then she changes and then they fall in love. Like, we just see, like, there's this common, like, I'm just not a big fan of that. Like, it's the same plot line. Another one of the 72 reasons I'm not a big fan of chick flicks is how they portray and even define what love is. And love is more complex, but they boil it down to this, like, cosmic connection thing. That's just this, you know, if I've got this connection to this person and we feel it, nothing can stop us kind of thing. It's just this connection that will last us forever. Well, if you've been married for more than about 9 months, you know that's false. That it takes way more than that. It takes a lot more work and a lot more involvement and investment. And so I just get kind of like, I don't know, turned off to how they've oversimplified the whole thing. And so I'm just not a big fan of that. So we're going to talk a little bit about today, about loving the Lord your God with all your strength and what that means and how it's way more than just this conceptual, like, in my head, in my heart thing, like there's actual work to be done kind of thing. So we're going to start, and I want you, if you have it, to take your Bibles. If you guys don't have your Bibles, I really encourage you, if you can, to bring them with you. It gets you a whole different kind of connection to have something in your hands that you're flipping pages through. And I know the words are typically up on the screen, but if you can, turn with me to Luke 10, verse 25. While the people who are maybe turning there this morning, as I'm kind of getting ready and kind of getting my head in the right place, I open up my Gmail inbox. And the Bible Gateway verse of the day is in my inbox every day. It's a great way to kind of like get me thinking about things in the right direction. And the verse for today was from Romans, and it said, "We glory in suffering because suffering builds perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." So I apologize, but someone of us here is going to have to suffer, and I'm afraid it's going to be you as the audience. But I'm not going to take that verse as maybe directly literal. But all right, so let's read Luke 10, starting at verse 25. This is a parable that you've probably all at least heard reference to. You know, we have Good Samaritan laws of if you try to help someone and something goes wrong, you're not liable for it. That's where this comes from. So we're going to just kind of review, but I'm going to give you guys some more context because like so many things in the Bible, knowing the context gives you so much more depth of awareness of what's happening in that passage. So let's start in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So we're going to kind of narrate this as we go. Lots of these Pharisees and Sadducees were always trying to trip up Jesus because they wanted him to say something that like didn't match with the law so they could get him on it, kind of a gotcha moment. They're constantly looking for these. So this guy stands up to test Jesus. I got him. I'm going to trip him up. How do we inherit the kingdom of God? How are we going to get eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. What you can't tell is this is kind of this slam moment. Like he turned it back at that guy. Because everybody in the room, all these Bible experts, they all know that already, right? Like this, he asked too basic a question trying to trip up Jesus. Jesus, who only ever taught from the scriptures to begin with, just said, well, you know the answer to that one. That's an easy one, right? You tell me. Oh, so now he's got a cover for himself. So now he says, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So he realized he looks kind of bad in front of everybody. So now he's got to follow it up with like, okay, but this is really what I was going to ask. Who's my neighbor? Who am I supposed to love? Now we get into the parable. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of some robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. So let's pause for a minute again. Samaritans lived in the same geographic area as the nation of Israel at the time. They are the descendants of the people who were there in the promised land when the Jews came in. Well, Jews come in and say, this is our land. And the people who were there said, whoa, wait a minute. We were here first, right? Like, this is ours. So these two people have never gotten along. The Jews consider the Samaritans half-breeds. And the Samaritans consider the Jews these, you know, they kind of came in and tried to steal our land. And now they think they own the place. And so these two groups have never gotten along. So here a Samaritan comes along, finds this Jewish person on the side of the road, and takes pity on him. Verse 34, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which one of these 3 men do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So that parable that we're all relatively familiar with, the initial theme of it is, who is my neighbor? Who's the person I'm supposed to show love to? But like everything else in the Bible, there's layers of depth to it, right? Like there's, it's an onion, right? You peel layers off, it's all underneath there. I want to look at not just who was the Samaritan's neighbor, who was the neighbor to the Jewish man, but how did he show love? Because if I'm supposed to love my neighbor, I don't just need to know who the neighbor is. I have to show them love, right? Like, how do I show them love? What does that look like? And in this case, and we see all throughout the Bible, love is an action verb. Love is something we're supposed to do. Love is not just this connection. Like, that's part of it, having something in your soul, in your mind, in your heart. But it also requires an action, a doing. So the Levite and the priest, they didn't show love because they passed on the other side of the street, right? Like they were avoiding him. But the Samaritan could have easily come up and updated his status with, oh, here's some guy that's suffering. We should all keep him in our thoughts and prayers, maybe take a little selfie with him and then move on. Is that showing love? I didn't do anything for the guy. That doesn't help him out. Maybe he comes along and says, oh, man, that guy got beat up. I need to hurry back so I can start a support group. I need to start a support group for all these people that I can show love to who have been through things like that. Well, that doesn't show the guy love either. He did something. He acted. Love takes action. We need to flex a muscle of sorts to show our strength to love that person or to love God. When we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love God with all of my heart, soul, strength, and mind, the strength part is actually doing something. So think about the book, The Love Languages. I don't know if you've ever read the book. If you haven't, definitely pick it up. Originally, it's written for married couples or people like doing premarital counseling, that kind of stuff. But it's really effective for just learning group dynamics and learning how to feed into how people respond to things and positive reinforcement. But the idea of the love languages is that there's different ways that people need to hear and feel positive reinforcement, that people respond well, and it's not everyone needs the same thing. But the love languages, there's gifts, there's acts of service, there's words of encouragement, there's physical touch, and there's quality time. All these different ways of showing someone that you love them require actually doing something, right? Like, if I just tell my wife I love her all the time, that's great. But if I sit on the couch like a lump and never help with anything, how does she know I love her? If I never bring gifts, if I never like actually lift a muscle or lift a finger to show her that I love her, well, then it seems empty. I need to do something. She needs to see that I'm actually physically prepared to do something to show her that. Well, God's the same way. If I'm going to tell God I love him, it doesn't do any good for me to just feel and know like God and I, we're like this man. I love God with all of my heart and soul. And then I live my life without acting that out. That's empty. That doesn't really mean anything. God wants us to love him with all of our strength. He wants us to flex a muscle. He wants us to do something. My kids used to tell me, like on Saturdays when we're out doing projects and working on the car or the lawn or something, and I come in to get a drink and they're just laying on the couch watching TV. I said, could I go do something, right? Like, I don't care what it is. You make me mad sitting here. Like, I don't know, just go do something. Like, oh, I am doing something. I'm watching TV. No, like move a muscle. Like do something that requires a muscle to contract in some way. Like laying there just watching TV doesn't count as doing something. God wants us to flex a muscle for him, right? Like that's how we love God with our strength, is me actually like doing something. Now it doesn't mean I'm actually like physiologically flexing muscle. That's part of it. But I need to like put myself out there and say, I'm going to physically go do something for God or for someone that shows them God's love. I need to actually like get up off the couch and go do something physical and make my muscles contract to show God that I love him, to show that it matters. So what does the Samaritan do? What muscle does he flex? Well, in verse 34, he says, he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he put out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Okay, so we'll make a little list of things. He poured on oil and wine, kind of medical care, took care of him. We don't know if this guy knows what he's doing, but at least God didn't say, well, he put some stuff on the wound, but we don't know what that was. So he used some awareness. He used his knowledge. He used his awareness of how to take care of the guy. He used his own resources. This guy packs supplies for a long road trip, food and medical supplies and stuff, so that he has stuff to take care of himself. He's using what he may need later to take care of this person. He let him ride on his own donkey, which, we're talking days worth of journey it takes to get there. So this is being willing to give up my comfort for someone else, to show them that I love them. I need to give up my comfort. That maybe is how I flex the muscles, to give up my comfort and ease for God, for someone else. He gave 2 silver coins to the innkeeper. For frame of reference, 2 silver coins is roughly like 2 months' wages. This guy left a serious chunk of money for this innkeeper. Not the smallest of which was his time. He gave up not just the time on the side of the road to kind of patch the guy up, but he took him back to the inn, took care of him. We don't really know for how long, but who knows, maybe he was late for that Comic-Con convention he was headed to, or he lost time going to a work function or something. Whatever it was, he gave up his time. He gave up and sacrificed his resources, his comfort, things that he may need later for his own self-preservation. He flexed his muscle to show love to this person. Just like we're supposed to flex muscle and hand over or give to God or to those around us to show that we love them. Because if I'm not willing to do something, then that love is kind of empty. Think back to the time when Jesus is sitting in the temple and he's across from where the offering is given. and he watches several people drop large amounts of money in. And then a widow comes, and she puts in 2 coins. And Jesus knows this is all she has. Like, this is everything. And he turns to his disciples and says, she has given far more than anyone else here today. So it's easy for us to fall into this, okay, so if I'm going to do something for God, and if I'm going to flex a muscle, I'm going to flex the biggest muscle God gave me, whatever that is. Maybe it's I'm good with kids. I love working with kids. I'm going to go work back there in children's ministry. That's great. That's a good thing to do. Maybe I'm really good at singing. I'm not, okay, hypothetical. Maybe I'm really good at singing, and so I'm going to sing up here with Zach in the group. But this widow gave the muscle she had the least of. She was prepared to give something that she didn't have, money. Like, this was it. This was all she had. We don't know that the Samaritan was a rich guy. We hear that he left 2 silver coins. That might have been everything he had. We don't know that he knew anything about medical care. He was just doing the best he could. Are we prepared to flex that muscle to show God that we love him? That's the last muscle we want to flex. Because the last thing I should be doing is singing up here with Zach in the group. But God still gave me that muscle to flex. And so if the opportunity arises, I still need to sing like I love God. I still need to flex that muscle in a way that says, yeah, I love God. And it's only 2 coins worth of singing, but it's the best singing I've got. So I'm going to sit over there in the corner and do it like in a group, like, right? I'm not going to be up here. But I'm going to flex that muscle the best I can because that shows God that I love him. So let's turn to another passage. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So it says in here to serve others, but we show love to God by serving others. That's one of the ways we can show love to God. But whatever gift he has received... We've received a lot of gifts, right? Like, as a culture in our society, we have way more than we need. We see other cultures, and the excess that America has is amazing. We've been blessed with so much. But I've been blessed with some things that maybe I don't think are such big blessings, like singing or dancing, or those are not things that I'm going to do in public. But those are things that God still gave me. Those are things that if the opportunity arises and I'm on the side of the road and I see someone who needs help and I think, ah, that mom has a flat tire and it does not look like she is in trouble with that whole thing and she's on the side of the road and she's got a toddler and I don't have a lot of time. But the widow didn't have a lot of coins. And so I need to flex a muscle and say, you know what, if that's on my heart, if this is the opportunity God has presented, I need to flex my muscle and say, I love God and I love this person. That's how I'm going to show my love for God today or in this moment, is I'm going to reach out and go outside of my comfort zone and say, I don't have a lot of this. I'm not great at that. But in this moment, what God gave me is exactly what that person needs. This Samaritan was exactly what that person needed. He had the resources. He had the stuff, but we don't know how much of it. He wasn't necessarily a wealthy guy. Heck, he might have even gotten home and gotten all kinds of flack for helping this Jewish guy. When he dropped him off at the inn, everyone knew these two guys don't belong together. What are you doing taking care of him? He probably got a little persecuted for it. But in that moment, he was willing to show love for that person. He was willing to flex that love muscle and actually do something. Do something beyond a status post update or a selfie picture with it. He was willing to step out and do something. Let's turn to James 1. 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Everything I have comes from God. Everything I have is a gift from him. And if every gift from him is good and perfect, then my ability to not dance is his perfect gift to me of dancing. So as bad as my dancing may be, it is his perfect way of putting dancing in me. And I need to prepare to use that muscle, that bad dancing muscle, for whenever the opportunity arises. Good Lord, I hope it doesn't. But whenever that chance arises that I need to use that muscle, it's there because God gave it to me. So maybe I am not good with kids. Maybe I do not want to work in the kids. But in that moment, if Brittany's back there and she says, I need a body, please stand here so I can go take this little one back to their mom. Yeah, I don't do kids. I'm sorry. No, step in there. That's a love muscle. I'm going to flex and say, I'm going to do something. I'm physically going to use some of, God gave me this. It's not much, but I'm going to use as much as I can. Because every gift that I have is good and perfect, and I need to use it to serve others and show love, and show love to the people around us. So what's your muscle that you can flex? If our strength is our resources and our assets and our talents and our gifts and what we've been given, what is your asset? What is the thing you have that you can flex for God? The easy one is to think about is the stuff that like that's in my wheelhouse, right? We talked about like if it's not in my wheelhouse, I should probably still be open to considering it. We have houses and cars and finances and skills and abilities and talents, all kinds of things. For me, the thing that I need to show that I'm willing to use is the thing I have in the least supply. And for me, that's my time. Because I don't know about you, but I get pulled in a million different directions. I'm constantly, you know, there's all these things on my list. When I wake up in the morning, I could easily plot out my day 5 minutes at a time and be full from when I wake up to when I have to go to bed later than I'd like to because I still have stuff to do. I could pack it. But that's the thing that I need to be the most willing to flex that muscle and say, okay, that's what I need to give up is something of time because what matters the most is the sacrifice that I feel the most. If my wife's love language is acts of service and I need to do things for her to show her that I love her, that's the muscle I need to flex to show her that I love her. And so I do the dishes in June and say, look, hon, I did the dishes. I love you so much. Isn't that great? Like, great. I'll go do them again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. No, like this act of love, this is like an ongoing thing. And it needs to come at some like, I don't like doing the dishes. Who likes doing the dishes? But that's what I need to do. Because if it doesn't like sacrifice a little bit, then flexing that muscle is kind of an easy thing. You don't get stronger by flexing the easy muscle that's big. You need to flex the one that's tough. There's a book by C.S. Lewis called Screwtape Letters. And it's a fiction book. But C.S. Lewis wrote this from the perspective of one of Satan's lieutenants, and he's got a nephew, and that nephew is just new into the force of trying to tempt humans and get them away from the love of God. And so Screwtape, the uncle, is writing all these letters trying to guide and direct his nephew, and it's really interesting. If you get the chance to read this book, it's an interesting perspective for us to see how we should see the world around us. Very much fiction, but a really interesting perspective. And one of the things that Screwtape tells his nephew is how humans misunderstand time. And the concept is that we realize that my money is God's given this money to me, right? Like I am a steward of this money, and it's God's, so I give it church to give back to God. It's not mine. Time is the same thing. I wake up in the morning and think, look at all the things I have to do in my day. It's not my day. It's God's day. And so it is his time he's letting me use. And so for me, when I wake up in the morning and I think, okay, I've got God's time. I'm supposed to show that I love him by being willing to sacrifice and flex the muscle that says I'm going to do something for God to show him that I love him. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to read. All right, God, I've got 3 minutes while I eat breakfast. I'm going to open my Bible. Randomly pick a verse. I'm going to read that one. We're going to pray for a minute. Great. That was God's time. And move on with my day. That doesn't flex a muscle really. That doesn't like really show God that I'm willing to sacrifice and show him love and show others love. If I tell my kids, we're going to spend some quality time together, all right? We're going to play a board game. I got 6.5 minutes before I have to leave. We're going to play quality time, right? We're going to make the most out of this 6.5 minutes. Nah. Dr. Dobson said, quantity time is quality time. If I'm going to get quality with someone, I have to spend a lot of time with them. I can't just jump in, spend some time, and hope we get the best out of it. No, I got to spend a lot of time with that person. I got to spend a lot of time with God. For me, that's the muscle I need to flex, is saying I'm willing to sacrifice what is my most short supply resource of time and say, that is God's. That's what I'm going to give back. That's how I'm going to show him that I love him with all of my strength, because I'm going to do something with my time for God. Maybe that shows itself as loving others with my time, and that shows God's love to them, and it brings me closer to God. But in any case, I need to flex a muscle that I feel some sense of sacrifice with, because if I'm going to get stronger on something, I need to challenge myself and push myself to those limits. So let's hit in a couple more verses. Turn, if you can, to Proverbs 3:9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. If I'm going to give something to God, if I'm going to act and do something physically, like make my muscles contract to show God that I love Him, it needs to be my first fruits. The widow that gave 2 coins in the offering, that wasn't just her first fruits, that was all of it, right? We're not necessarily called to give all of everything, but it's got to be off the top, right? Like if I'm going to spend time with God, maybe it's the end of your day, but it shouldn't be the end of your day laying in bed, kind of praying, half falling asleep, and you wake up in the morning and you're drooling on your Bible and like, oh, wait, what still counts? Bible is open. No, it needs to be the first. It needs to be a priority. Something I'm setting aside is like, you know what? Maybe it's the end of my day, but I'm going to pull this block of time out and set it aside and say, that's for God. All of my first fruits. If it's my talent of organization or administration, then I'm going to spend some time in helping the church organize. Maybe it's organizing ushers or making a list of people for cleanup or setup or whatever it is. But that something is not an afterthought. It's a first fruit. My action, my doing, my strength that I'm showing for God needs to come off the top. That's an early, that's part of the first process. The last verse we'll look at today is Colossians 3:23. In the New Testament there, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. When you do your daily stuff, and you're flexing your muscle to do the dishes and driving to work and your job and taking care of the kids and helping with homework and all those things can all function as flexing your muscle to show you love God. If I'm doing them with the mindset that says everything I do as if I'm serving the Lord with all of my heart, then if I'm going to be a trash collector, I am the best trash collector I could possibly be, because that's how I show I love God, is working with everything I have in that capacity. So it doesn't necessarily even have to be extra stuff. The stuff I'm already doing, am I showing God that He is important to me and I love God by serving Him in that task? When I help my kids with homework, am I checking my phone and kind of helping? Because am I immersed in, we're helping homework? Because this is how I show God I love Him, by everything I do. I'm not serving my kids. I am, but more importantly, I'm serving God. That's how I show God that I love Him, is by spending my effort really focusing and saying, everything I'm doing, I'm serving God. That's how I'm going to flex my muscle and show that I love God. So we have in our bulletin this little tear-out section, right, that has these take-home message things on it. And each week, they ask the speaker for the couple of things we want to put on that list. And this one had like 7 different things we could have put on here. It's, do you know what your resources and assets are that you can use to show God that you love Him? What if I sit back and just think for a while and pray on, like, what am I being called to do? Am I doing the things of my daily life in a way that shows God that I love Him? But we try to narrow it down to a couple on here. So the first one is memorizing Colossians 3:23. It's a pretty short verse. It's one you've probably heard a couple of times in the past, maybe, in different church settings or otherwise. But that verse gets us thinking of everything I do on a regular basis, I should be serving God. It's something that, why am I doing? Man, why did my boss give me this job? I hate this part of the job. And I don't like working with that guy. He's kind of annoying. And am I serving God in everything I do? That's a muscle I can flex to love God with all of my strength. The next one on the list is spend time praying. Ask God to reveal a path toward using my strength to love God. How am I going to take what I have, whether it's my good skills, and these are in my wheelhouse and I really need to use these, or those things that, like, yeah, please don't ask me to speak in public. Please don't ask me. Like, I really don't want to do that, God, but man, if it's necessary, am I willing? Is God putting something in front of you that maybe you haven't even realized, or you know it's there and you're trying not to realize it's there? How am I going to use my spiritual muscle to flex and show God that I love Him? And then the last one is complete this week's study questions on the website. the Crossings Church AZ website. Every week from the sermon, we have questions written down. And those questions kind of take you into a deeper process, deeper thought process of whatever Trevor, whoever's speaking, presented. And it's a good way to kind of carry whatever message you heard on Sunday through the rest of the week. And maybe come back to that, bookmark that, come back to one question a week. Go look at verses that expand on that thought. But get connected to what you hear on Sunday. So it's not just something that's, I come, got good value out of the worship service, sermon this week was questionable, but I'm gonna come back to it, and I'm gonna revisit it later on in the week. If your small group does that, great. You can still do more on your own, because I would almost guarantee that if you hear a small group discussion on that on Tuesday, and you come back on Friday, something in your life will have happened to be like, oh, okay, I get a different angle on that now, or now it speaks to me differently. So spend some time in those questions on the websites. They're there. People are putting a lot of thought into those, and they really help kind of bring that message home and keep you thinking of loving God and going in a spiritual direction and living the way God would have us live throughout your whole week. Let's spend a moment in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity, the freedom that we have to worship you and to serve you outwardly openly in our culture, in our community, Lord. That's not something that everyone in this world has, and we thank you for the opportunity to be that light in an open and an obvious way. We pray, Lord, that as we each go out into our week, you present to us something that is a clear way to show up, to show you that we love you, whether it's showing love to the people around us or flexing our spiritual muscle in some way to show that we love you. What am I going to do? What am I going to get off my couch and do to show you that I love you? If it's my time, my resources, whatever it is, make that clear to us, Lord, as we move ahead in our week. In your name, amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Have an excellent Sunday and a good week ahead of you.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.